Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good morning, brothers. Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and this is a location that where we deal with real issues that men face on a daily basis. And we're all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we are here today to be able to bring light into your life. Father, just bless all of those who are actually listening this day, Father, and help us who are here in the studio. And we're going to be talking about, as the meat topic of this day, into, let's put it this way, David and Goliath in depth. We're going to get into it. We're going to chew it up a little bit. But in the studio with me today, I have Steve with me. Steve is the minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a leader of men, and he joins me most of the time on Mondays and Fridays, and he's in here with me today. Good to have you here, bud.
Good morning, Raul. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. And hopefully he blesses my lips because they seem to be getting in my way today for some odd reason. We always like to start the show off, though, before we get into the meat of things, on an email that one of you guys have actually sent to us. And you can send an email with a topic, a question, anything in turn that you would like us to answer for you, brother. You send it to help, H-E-L-P, at bandofbrothersradio.com. And we will actually answer that anonymously so that you don't ever have to worry about anybody knowing that it's you that sent that in. So feel free to do that. And on occasion, we get women who stealthily listen to this show, and they send in something on occasion. And so we welcome all of those. So Steve's kind of looking over a few of these emails that we had today, and he's kind of he's not really shaking his head. He's going, "Oh my," is more of the look. Have you got come up with one there, brother?
Well, I've come up with one. It was a tough decision, and I know that we'll get to the others as time goes on. There's some great questions here, but this is the one that we're going to deal with this morning. And hopefully in answering this, we're going to address some issues that go beyond just the specific nature of this question. This brother writes, "I am 22 years old. My question is that I am single and I want to get married, but I can't find a girl that is still a virgin and who is comfortable with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues and this seems to scare away girls. Should I settle for someone who isn't as strong in the Lord as I am? Also, how do I get girls to stop throwing themselves at me? I'm trying to be a man of God, and it's very difficult when girls start trying to have sex with me on the first date. I would be honored if you would address my concerns." Well, brother, what would you say to this 22-year-old individual that wants to get married?
It's on fire for the Lord, it sounds like, too. You know, first, I don't think you have a problem with, it sounds like, attracting the opposite gender here. You know, I think women are actually, it sounds like they are attractive to you. And for whatever reason that may be, and I'd like to think that it's because of maybe your relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? And you know, here's one of the things that, you know, to try to find, I should say, requirements as such. One of the things I found in my own life that sometimes when I just actually seek the Lord and ask Him, you just bless me with whatever it is that you know that I need. and what it is that you want me to take care of. And in a sense, he may just bless you with that right individual. Well, not might, he will, okay? You just have to be willing to accept whatever it is that he puts in front of you. You know, when I put requirements on whether somebody is, if you're looking for a virgin as such, you know, I think I probably knew very few of them. I knew probably more virgins when I was in kindergarten than I did as I was in high school, okay? I'm not trying to put a little pun on this, but that truly is how I saw things. And I am not of youthful age today. So there's, I know that today, and I'm not throwing it out there saying that every woman out there is not a virgin, but yes, there are fewer of them than there are the other. So, boy, I tell you what, I'm kind of stumbling over this because I didn't even, and I'm probably not making any sense here at all. So help me out here, brother. I really am stumbling here.
Well, it's a challenging question, and it's a great question. It raises a number of other questions. The first thing I think that I'd like to say this morning is this brother seems to be coming from a spirit-filled, charismatic, or Pentecostal-type background. When he says, I speak in tongues, and this seems to scare girls away. So hold that in your mind for a minute. Then he talks about girls that are throwing themselves at him who want to have sex with him on the first date. So my first question is, where is he meeting these girls? And that if he's looking for a spirit-filled, tongue-talking type of companion through life, then he probably should explore fellowshipping in churches with that kind of background, for starters. What we know is that sociological differences, both in terms of background, white collar, blue collar, has a family been born again, experienced some redemptive lift? What we know is that those things go a long ways towards navigating the beginning of a marriage and finding a partner that is similar to you in terms of background. And so if he finds someone from a church like he is predisposed to worship in at this point, that's going to go a long ways towards solving that problem. So I'm hoping that he's not dating girls in the church that want to have sex with him on the first date. So that's one issue. The second issue is that he's looking for a virgin. And in that scenario, this is an area of his private personal life he can lay out before the Lord if this is something that God has impressed upon his heart, and he can begin to pray. The Bible is filled with stories of God bringing men and women together, of Abraham sending his servant, who is a picture of the Holy Spirit, to go to a distant land to find a bride for Isaac. So this is an area that he can take to the Lord in prayer. But now here's the issue that I want to point out. He makes the statement, should I settle for someone who isn't as strong in God as I am? And I want to say this. If you are going to marry somebody and your attitude is that you're settling, you're assuming a spiritually superior position. And at that moment, you've got a crack in your foundation because your spiritual pride is setting you up in judgment over this person that's going to become one with you. You have expectations that are a disappointment to you from the outset. You cannot build on that. When you marry someone, it can't be an issue of settling. And who measures how strong someone is in the Lord? Right. Bottom line is this. Get down on your knees. Ask God to direct you. When you meet that person, love them with God's love. Here's what the scripture says, Raul. Love keeps no record of wrongs.
Amen.
And if you find yourself, and I want to say this to every married person. In fact, here's the beginning of the solution to the healing in every marriage.
Amen.
Love keeps no record of wrongs. Mm-hmm. And if we're just loving with human love, I hold out very little hope that you're going to really solve the deepest problems in your relationship. Mm-hmm. But when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. surrender means surrender.
Yes.
And we open ourselves up and we pray that God will fill us to overflowing with his love. So now we love our spouse, not with just our own love, mm-hmm. but we love them with the love of the Lord. We're not settling for anything. We've got the Lord God Almighty flowing in us and through us, this God who is love, and we're loving that other person with his love, and love keeps no record of wrongs. Mm. So you need to take the scorebook, because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature.
Mm.
The old is gone, the new has come.
Mm.
There is forgiveness. We all must be plunged into that cleansing fountain of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God forgives, he forgives. He keeps no record of sin. And until we can love with that kind of love, we're not really building on a foundation that can stand up in this challenging moment that we live in. So I think this brother, and at 22, I would counsel this brother to get with a spiritually mature man who has lived long enough to be through the fire of life,
mm-hmm.
and talk some of these issues through.
Mm.
Because your wife is not your spiritual trophy. She becomes one with you. You're joint heirs together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if when you look at that person, if you see a record of wrongs, you're not loving that person the way God's called you to love them.
I'm sure glad I teed you up just perfect for that, brother, with what I had to say. But I tell you what, hey, you got me just jazzed up. I'm starting to sweat in my palms here, but that was great. Thank you, brother, for sending in that email. You have been inspired and instructed. So when we come back from our break, we're going to delve into David and Goliath a little deeper. We'll be right back.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
I'm going home to the place where I belong, where your love has always been enough for me. Not running from you. No, I think you got me all wrong. I don't regret this life just for me.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me today. And, you know, we've been actually over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the life of David and how much as men that we can learn from his accomplishments and his challenges and his failures,
mm-hmm.
and how they actually apply to our life. And that's what I love about the Bible, is that when we kind of delve into it, we actually just see what God is revealing to us. And to each one of us, we receive something differently in each story or in each example that is given to us, okay, from God. And today, we're going to actually start off, we may end up in a couple of shows here about David and Goliath. And I know as a just a brushstroke across it. We know that it David, being a young man who ends up killing a giant, okay, a Philistine, with a slingshot, in a sense, and with one rock, and actually taking care of business. But there is so much more to it than just that. There's about what actually took place with David, that he was came from a family where he had, I believe, seven other brothers, and his father, Jesse, correct? I think it's his father that is actually was approached by Samuel, saying that one of your sons will actually end up being the next king. I need to know who they are, because the Lord was speaking to Samuel, said, you need to go and anoint this new king who will be replacing Saul, I believe, when Saul ends up dying. And anyway, so I'm just doing a little preempt there, brother, or maybe that's even the wrong word, preview. I said preempt, and it just doesn't get worse.
I understood.
Okay.
Well, I think the story of David and Goliath is so well known. I mean, it's part of the cultural fabric. Whether you've ever read the Bible or whether you've ever gone to church, whether you have any background in Christianity, everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. If it's a boxing match and the underdog, someone will say, well, this is like David and Goliath. Or it's a football game and the underdog will be, this is like David and Goliath. So we have this picture of the underdog, the one who has no hope of winning, coming up against the stronger one, who in all likelihood should be the winner. So that's the background of the story. But there's so much here, Raoul, so much as men that we can learn. And of course, all of Scripture is given to us by inspiration of God. And we can be trained, disciplined, corrected, inspired, encouraged. And this story is just rich with lessons for men. So I agree, we probably won't get through them all today. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about this morning. Now, there's a timeline here. And David is anointed by Samuel. He's selected, identified as the man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. So there's this initial anointing. But David's not going to start living in that anointing as king, the actual position of king, for many years. Mm-hmm. So from the time God calls him until the time that call comes into evidence or other people can see it, David's going to go through a number of things. And we've talked about that when he had to flee from Saul, who was trying to kill him and so on. And, of course, we told all of the story. Now we're coming. We saved the beginning till the end,
right?
Because I think we can have a better perspective now. So there's this period of time from the moment God puts something in a man's heart until some point in the future when it comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us serve God on the basis that God, tell it to me today and give it to me this afternoon,
right?
And that's not the way God works. So there's going to be an actual fight between David and Goliath, and I think we're going to deal with that issue on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to discuss this morning and get your insight on and your personal experience, because I know that you've been on a spiritual journey with Band of Brothers,
mm-hmm.
And I know that God has put a great vision in your heart for how men's lives can be changed and transformed. And while we're seeing wonderful things happen in the Band of Brothers ministry today, I know that this is not the fulfillment of the vision that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and I think this is the position that many men find themselves in. They feel like, in fact, one of the emails this morning, which perhaps we'll get to on another day, the gentleman feels called to go into the ministry and he's struggling because he feels like he should go to seminary. And his wife's saying, no, it's time for us to settle down and have babies. So God's put something in his heart,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to figure out how to fulfill it. And the reality is that we worship means that we wholeheartedly surrender our actions and our attitudes to the Lord. So if God puts a vision in our heart, we have to also trust God that if we're faithful to walk with him, that he will bring it to pass.
Yes.
So David's anointed as king, but he's still a little boy. I mean, a teenager, as we've discussed. That's not going to happen for a number of years. He's going to fight Goliath, and he's going to win a mighty victory. But what happens in David's life before he finds himself in this public battle is he is going to have to win some private victories.
Yes.
Because your private victories or your private failures will define what's going to happen to you publicly down the road. Mm-hmm. So share with me this morning, just briefly, what's your vision for Band of Brothers ministry?
Well, you know, the ministry itself is, it started out as a Bible study. It's really
In your living room.
Yeah,
group of men in your living room.
In my
room.
Apartment, before I was even married to my wife, to Debbie now, it started out in an apartment. And it was about, God had just laid on my heart, because just prior to that, brother, I was at a place where I've never been broken like I have been broken, and willing to allow God to work through me and to just truly commit myself and make some changes, some literal changes in my life to do that. And as a result of that, some things started to take place. And one of it was to be inspired to actually have a Bible study, thinking that I don't qualify to do a Bible study. I don't know that much about the Bible. And yet, God gave me the right men, okay, to start off with, which the majority of them left within a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, only one stayed with me, and we continued to pray and get into the Word, and just continually did that. And God revealed more and more. I know this is what He inspired in me, is that I needed to come to know Him more. That I, you know, He had something in store for me. I didn't know what it was. I truly did not have a clue at that time. But all I know is that I just focused on Him. And the more that I learned of Him, the more I tried to become like that.
So now, I know that tomorrow night, Tuesday night, as you do every single Tuesday night, that you're going to have somewhere between 150 and 200 men are going to be gathered together. They're going to spend 3 hours together. Mm-hmm. They're going to eat together. They're going to fellowship together. They're going to pray together. They're going to share their lives together. They're going to support each other, help each other find jobs. You're going to have some kind of spiritual teaching or input before these guys go home. I mean, I've been there. I've seen this. They're going to leave fired up and ready to live for God.
Yes.
So that's where you're at today. But what you're telling me is before this, back in the beginning, that you're sitting in your apartment,
yes,
with one man,
yeah,
studying the Bible.
Yes.
And that you got from there to here, but it didn't happen overnight.
Not at all.
Okay, and this is what we want to communicate to men. We want to say to every man that's sitting out there right now,
right,
you look at somebody's ministry, you look at Raoul's ministry, Band of Brothers, or you feel like you want to do something for God, and you say, well, if I had a chance, I would do that. But what is important for every man to understand is it doesn't start with this big thing, even if you're King David. I mean, think about this. Even if you're, someday people are going to see him riding in his chariot and on his, you know, being the king and ruling over all of Israel, is going to be united for a period of time. And they're going to say, wouldn't it be great to be king? Mm-hmm. What they don't see is the little shepherd boy.
Yes.
Out here by himself. Now, when David confronts Goliath, or when David says, I will confront Goliath, they mock him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are you to do this? And here's what David said. He said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. This is chapter 17, 1 Samuel, verse 34. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Notice verse 37. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will also deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Mm-hmm. So privately, mm-hmm. nobody's there. Now, when he confronts Goliath, there are armies on both sides. It's right. like it's like the Super Bowl.
Right.
Everybody's cheering for their team. But David, before he ever has this public victory, mm-hmm. he's alone. He's tending his father's sheep. Now, he knows the Lord. He's been anointed by Samuel.
Right.
This is the sweet singer of Israel. This is the one who said, the Lord is my shepherd. Right. David understands this. But all by himself, when he's alone, he's attacked by, or his sheep are attacked mm-hmm. by a lion, by a bear, mm-hmm. and David privately, and he says this, the Lord who delivered them into my hand will also deliver this Philistine. Mm-hmm. So David understood that when he killed the lion and he killed the bear, it wasn't by his own strength and power. He understood that God was helping him to do it. It happened privately. Nobody else saw it. In fact, this may be perhaps the first time he ever even mentions it.
Right.
But private victory precedes public victory.
And there it lies right there in the sense of just taking care of business that he was called to do, is saying, I am just to tend my flock. I am to protect them. I am to make sure that they're taken to a ground where they can actually eat and be nourished and to be watered at a, you know, watering hole, whatever it may be. But that was his job, just to shepherd them and to protect them. And in turn, yes, when I was in my study, as it grew, it didn't stay one and just two guys, okay?
Sure.
Eventually it grew.
Sure.
And it got to a little place where all of a sudden men were being fed. Now, one of the things that took place there is that we were there and I tried to get everyone to, you know, let's engage with each other. Let's get to know each other. Okay, let's be transparent. Let's know that we can pray for each other. That's part of the protection mm-hmm. that I believe that we do today, mm-hmm. okay? That in keeping the lion and the bear away, so to speak, the enemies, okay, those who could do destruction in our lives, that prayer will actually be able to bring awareness to the other guys so that they can know what's taking place in their lives. It's just being fellowship, brotherhood, mm-hmm. okay? And in turn, what ended up happening is that men started telling other men, hey, you got to come to this study with us.
But it didn't happen overnight.
It did not happen overnight. It happened over a period of a couple of years.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, after a period of time when we had a certain number of men in my living room, okay, or in my dining room because we couldn't fit them in the dining room. We went to the living room. And anyway, what ended up happening is that there was just I don't want to say strength in numbers, but there was such a fire that was taking place. And guys just kept inviting other men. And I'm sitting here, I'm going, I don't have enough room for these guys. You know, I just need more room. And Lord, what is it that you want me to do with this? You know, so I tried to break us up into smaller groups, said, guys, we got to do what it says, that we're to go make disciples of all men. So each one of you have to think and pray about starting your own group in your own home on another night. You can still do this one on this night, but do another night, et cetera, et cetera. And after a couple of weeks of praying about this, the guys came back and said, I don't think we're supposed to be doing that.
You know, that's a critical point. That's a critical point. Because this ministry that God is calling all of us to participate in is not based upon what we think, but it's based upon what God thinks.
Yes.
And God had a plan for you. And I want to draw a parallel between what God has done in your life and what God did in David's life, because I think there are many men out there who are going to misunderstand the early days of that precede fruitfulness mm-hmm. and give up, or worse than that, never get started.
Yes.
So here's the parallel between your life and David's life. You found yourself in your living room with one other man studying the Bible, and then God began to add to it. Now, my point this morning is that was a preparatory period, that God gives us experiences early on that may not seem big or significant or flashy or attractive or catch anybody's notice. In fact, the devil might even almost overlook us in the beginning because it seems so insignificant. But God was working something in your heart then, preparing you for where you're ministering now.
Yes.
And when David was out there with his sheep by himself, and the lion came along and he killed the lion, and the bear came along and he killed the bear, David didn't know he was going to face Goliath.
Right.
David didn't know what was coming.
Right.
But God was giving him experiences. God was preparing him for what lay ahead. So it's very possible we have men listening today,
yes,
who have some vision for ministry. It might be a ministry in their church. It might be a ministry in like Band of Brothers. It might be going to Haiti or to India or Nepal. I mean, it could be any number of things that God's put in their heart, and it seems so far off. It's like a Goliath. It's
right.
Huge.
Right.
And what we want to say is be sensitive because God's giving you experiences now.
Yes.
Remember, Scripture says, be faithful in a few things, and I will make you ruler over many.
Mm-hmm.
So God starts with the few,
mm-hmm,
and then he does his work.
Yes. And when we come back from the break, we're going to try to see if you, and I'm going to call you David, because you just may very well be a David, not even be aware of it. We may be able to help guide you down this path of knowing what God has in store for you. We'll be right back on Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
You know the effort I have given, and you know exactly what it cost. And though my innocence was taken, not everything is lost. Not everything is lost. No. But your love, the only thing that matters is your love.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and we're talking about David and Goliath, but we're talking about it in depth and how that really, this story can be related into our lives as men and what God has in store for us. And brother, you do not have to even be aware of the fact that God has something on your mind right now or on your heart that you're not aware of, or it could be that you're not aware of. The simple fact is that our experiences that we go through are, I believe, for purpose of being able to do God's will. Especially if you have the heart of being able, if you're listening to the show, you're either sitting there and going, man, I want to be encouraged to keep moving forward to what God has in store for me. How can you guys help lighten that up so I can see a little bit more? Or I'm totally lost and I need some kind of encouragement. And I'm just going to tell you, first and foremost, brother, you continue to seek Jesus and he will reveal himself to you as he sees fit. You just continue to seek him and be obedient to his law, and he will reveal himself to you. So in turn, we're actually talking now about making a parallel between actually some ministries, in a sense, of what God does there allows to take place versus, not versus, but along with the parallel of what goes on in David's life as he prepares prior to that big fight.
Well, that is correct. And of course, this principle applies to men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we measure ministry. We see people who are in the public eye, and we think, well, their ministry, that must be the most important ministry. But, you know, God doesn't measure like that. God doesn't work like that. It's God's will. He's graced all of us with our life experience, our temperament, our talent, our spiritual gifts. – the Holy Spirit works through every person. And I am absolutely convinced when we get on the, when we come to the end of this age and we come to that great day when we're gathered around with the Lord, and we begin to know at a different level and see at a different level and understand our, what our lives look like at a different level, that we're going to be quite surprised that, and we should know this, but we miss it, the degree which God will single out those who in humility and brokenness, let the love of God spill out of their lives everywhere they went. Mm-hmm. So ministry doesn't mean having a microphone in front of your face.
Right.
And that's very, very important. But God does have a course for us to follow. Someone might be a Sunday school teacher. Someone might be a home visitor. Someone might be a Bible study leader or a small group leader. Or someone might be called to be a good neighbor.
Yes.
Or someone might be called to prison ministry or hospital ministry, to operate a food bank or start one in their garage. I mean, these are the kinds of things that, that Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, mm-hmm. And to do these kinds of things. And,
right.
You know, he's going to say, when you visited me in prison, when I was hungry, when I was naked, you clothed me. They're going to say, Lord, when did we see you that way? And he's going to say, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So ministry is something that flows out of our lives. And I believe that for the men and women that are listening this morning, that there are moments when every person catches a glimpse of themselves, there's something in their heart, they want to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage it.
Yes.
We want to say, you know, get filled with the Spirit and follow your heart and let God flow through you. So David is the most unsuspecting person in this entire picture, Raul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at this picture, he gets the trophy for being the most unlikely.
Yes.
And yet here he comes. And why, you know, why is he so confident? Why is he so energized by the Holy Spirit? It's because he's had these private victories,
yes,
in his life. And, you know, he said, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. He said, I'll go and fight him. And Saul said to him, verse 35, but you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth. So David doesn't look like he fits the part. And I want to say, you may not look like you fit the part.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have the background or the experience or the education or the training. And I loved what you said about having your Bible study, is you didn't feel like you were qualified. You didn't know Genesis to Revelation and be able to take it apart theologically and explain in the Hebrew and the Greek the different nuances of the words.
Mm-hmm.
You just simply obeyed God, opened your Bible, invited some brothers to come over, and sought the Lord together.
Yes.
And out of that experience comes Band of Brothers. And I believe out of Band of Brothers is going to come other experiences. That's the way God works in our lives. So today, wherever someone is at in their walk with the Lord, it may not seem like it matters that much.
Right.
But this may be your moment of killing the lion,
mm-hmm,
or killing the bear. And David knew that it was God's hand on his life that enabled him to do that. So that preparatory experience of victory in Christ,
mm-hmm,
when the moment came to face Goliath, and of course Goliath is a picture of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
He's a picture of the devil, the enemy of our souls.
Mm-hmm.
He's a picture of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes our problems seem so much bigger than we are. The temptation seems so much bigger than we are. The opposition seems so much bigger than we are. All the reasons why we aren't the right person to go do what God's calling us to do. I mean, that's like a monument,
right,
in front of us.
Right.
And David's a picture of that, or Goliath's a picture of that. And here comes David, this unlikely shepherd boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, don't worry, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I've been down this path before. The lion was bigger than me and stronger than me. God help me kill him. The bear was bigger and stronger than me. God help me kill him. This guy, he's not fighting against me. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. Bring him on.
Amen. And that's where the strength comes in. And I tell you what, when we come back from our break, we're going to find out a little bit more about, you know, what it's going to require to be able to move forward fearlessly. Okay? Fearlessly. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and, you know, we're talking about David and Goliath, and I have Steve in the studio with me, and, you know, right now, David is at that place where Saul is looking at him saying that, you know, you're the one that you say that you want to go fight this Philistine. You know, one of the things we want to remember here is that David, in a youthful age, his father sent him with supplies to give to his brothers, okay, or to bring to them at the front lines, and to bring back news to his father how they are doing, because he doesn't know, he wants to make sure everyone's doing okay. And David does that, you know, so he has actually been, his father has given him a little more responsibility and taken a big risk. All his brothers are at war, or assumably at war, not necessarily at a standstill, because the father doesn't know what's going on. And he sends David with supplies to give to them and hoping that he'll bring back good news that they are doing well, you know. And now David is at that place where Saul is saying, hey, you know, you think you're the one? I don't know. Let's see. What do you think?
Well, I think it's amusing that these armies, the Philistines are on one side and Saul and his army are on the other side. And Goliath's been coming out every morning for 40 mornings, I believe it's stated, and rattling his sword and saying, send somebody down here to fight me. And these guys are all paralyzed by fear.
Right.
Because they don't know what they don't know. They don't know that there is a God enthroned in the heavens that's on their side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they know it in their heads because this is the nation of Israel. They got the history. Moses brought them out. That's how they got here. They know it in their heads, but there's a difference between knowing God in your head, having head knowledge, and truly knowing God in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the great pictures here.
Yeah.
God's on their side.
Yes.
God wants to give them victory.
Yes.
But here they are. They're paralyzed in fear. Now, we know what The only thing that will deal with fear, the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear.
Yes.
So here's David, the little shepherd boy, off by himself. I say shepherd boy, as you and I have discussed, he's probably a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
He's off by himself. He's watching his father's sheep, but he's been anointed by Samuel. Samuel has taken the horn of oil and poured it over his head, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit, and David is having a love relationship with God.
Yes.
I mean, where did the Psalms come from? Where did Psalm 23 came from?
Because
David's not always going to be a shepherd.
Right.
He's going to be a soldier. He's going to be a warrior. He's going to be a king. But he learned the beauty of Psalm 23. I see David off there by himself with the sheep, and he's praising and he's worshiping and he's giving thanks to God. He's allowing God to love him. David is fearless, not because of his masculinity or his manhood, because Saul looks at him and says, "You're just a boy. You can't go out and fight." David is fearless because he is filled with the love of God. So if we weave these principles together this morning, Raoul, private victory precedes public victory. God works in our lives in small things, getting us to a place of maturity for other things. God demonstrates his goodness to us, and when he fills us with his love, what would have terrified us before no longer makes us afraid.
Yes.
And we see all of this right here in David's life. So David is, he's walking with Jesus. I mean, he's walking with, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I mean, this is David's, David knows his God. And this Philistine, Goliath, has insulted God. And David says, "I'm going to put my foot down here."
Yes.
And we're going to see the power and the goodness and the grace and the love of God.
And because the Spirit of God is in him, he can look boldly and confidently and say, "Yes, not only am I going to defeat you, but God is going to be sovereign over this whole nation."
Yes.
And, those are some of the things that we need to be inspired by as men, to know that, hey, as youthful as you think you are in the Word of God, as small as you may feel that you are in God's sight, and as insignificant as you are, God created you for a purpose and a reason. And Friday, we're going to try to give you a little bit more as to why it is that you need to know that God has good things in store for you. Boy, I tell you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. There is hope, and you are not alone.